Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Around the League podcast from UGASports.com. We did take a week off for Thanksgiving last week, but, the picks, we still roll over from the previous week. Coach Donnan is here, as he always is. Also, Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus. Coach, you're still behind in our picks. You're at 16-11. I am at 20-7. And Brent, you are 19-9. So with 2 weeks to go in the SEC regular season, or so we think. Brent, you still have a shot to get back in this.
Hey, got a chance. That's all I asked for.
Yeah, I'm telling Coach, you. I ended up going with two upsets and neither one of them did much. But, hey, that's okay.
Hey, you took your shot, Coach. You took your shot. You had to do something to try to get back in it quick.
I fired my guns, but, hey, that's okay.
If you're a first-time listener to our show, what we do is we go around the SEC. That's why we're called Around the League. And we just do a quick breakdown of what we think is going to happen in the weekend of college football in the Southeastern Conference. This is from UGASports.com, but we do hit a lot of different teams. That is Jim Donnan. He's a College Football Hall of Famer, former Georgia head coach. Brent Rollins is from Pro Football Focus. And I am Dane Young from UGASports.com. Guys, I want to start with Texas A&M and Auburn. I think probably one of the more intriguing games in the country, but especially in the SEC. And Brent, you were already texting me yesterday saying that Gus Malzahn, he always finds some magic somewhere. Maybe this is that week.
There's always that, he always has that game late where he says, hey, I'm still around, guys. You still need to keep giving me checks and still keeping me employed. And this kind of feels that week. Now, obviously, they didn't play very well at all against Bama. And it sort of steamrolled and went downhill very quickly for them. But the other thing is A&M. A&M was 3 weeks removed from a game and then played LSU, and they look like a team that was three weeks removed from a game. So do they sort of look a little more in rhythm this week? Calamon had his worst game of the season since the opener. So it's going to be intriguing to see how A&M looks in week two after playing consecutive weeks after taking the big break that they did.
Coach, what are you thinking of with Auburn after that that blowout loss in the Iron Bowl?
You know, they're just their offense is just hunt and peck, and they're just looking for some identity, and they have all year. And then their best play is when they send it to Nix, and he misses the handoff, or they send it over his head, and then he scrambles. I mean, they just don't have any fluidity. And then when they finally get a good play, the kid Williams drops a touchdown pass in the first half. So, it's just a team that's struggling right now. Defensively, they did all they could to hang in there, but then Alabama just took over. I agree with what Brent says about A&M. I mean, they started out slowly this season. They had a really horrific offensive game against Vanderbilt the first game of the year, couldn't score, didn't do much. But now, I mean, they spent 3 weeks, everybody telling them how good they are, and it looks like COVID's really taken over there. I mean, they really don't look anywhere near what they did. So I think it's going to be a case of LSU showed that if Auburn gets some turnovers and everything, that, they got a shot. But it's the same Auburn team that lost to South Carolina, though. I mean, A&M killed South Carolina. I think at this point, you got to think A&M should win the game if you got to get Mon back on track. But they got the really good recipe, I think, for Auburn's defense. If you can run and pass, boy, they have a hard time. If they can zero in on one element, they do a pretty good job. But teams that can mix it up, give them fits.
Brent, one thing I was surprised at with Auburn is they've been a really efficient running team, I would say, midway through the season. And once the offensive line got a little more solidified, did not happen at all against Alabama. What was up with Tank Bigsby? I know he was injured some, but it's more than just him.
And it is, and he's dinged up. And, they got Shivers back, and you haven't really gotten anything from him. I think a lot of what it is just what Coach said. It's folks, after a while, when you play their offense – on a consistent basis, you kind of get it. And unless they sort of have some threat of the passing game that they didn't, and they had some drops. I think they had three or four drops last week against Alabama. So, when you don't have those things, it makes the running game that much more difficult. And when your best player, who is a true freshman, is dinged up, that makes it even more difficult for you on offense.
Coach, you know a lot about A&M's program, at least from you know, some of the personnel there on their coaching staff. I know that you've had some relationships with even a guy like James Coley at Georgia. You've known him for a while. Do you know anything about the mood at College Station? Because it's such a topsy-turvy season for them where everything could be in front of them, but there's so many variables right now just outside of their control.
Yeah, you know, Daryl Dickey, the offensive coordinator, Jimbo calls the plays, but Daryl Dickey played for me. And he's, you know, did a good job at Memphis there when they were really rolling with that offense. And he's brought in some RPO concepts to Jimbo. But I think their mood is, that, hey, with everything going back and forth like that, we're right there where we need to be. I mean, they've got a win over Florida, who's ranked sixth behind them. And, you know, with the except for the year they moved TCU out, we've just seen this playoff committee stick to their rankings pretty good. So let's say Notre Dame does beat Clemson and Florida beats Alabama, then what are they going to do? You know, I mean, who's going to be the top four? Does Ohio State get enough games in? So I think they feel pretty good about where they are. You know, they got to play – still got to play this game, and they got to go play Tennessee. But I would say they're sitting in the cat. But I mean, I think they're in a better position than Auburn. I mean, excuse me, than Florida, because Florida's got to beat Alabama, and they don't have to do that. So if you're going to pick two teams from the SEC, best thing for them to have is Florida lose. Because if Florida beats Alabama, Alabama's probably going to stay in it.
Well, let's stick with the Gators. They do play Tennessee this weekend, and a game that I think early when the schedule first came out, I think everyone looked at it and said, oh, that's going to have really big SEC implications. And I guess in theory, it still could, but two teams that have really gone in separate trajectories this year. Brent, does Tennessee have a shot in this game? Is there a prayer for Jeremy Pruitt's crew?
I mean, I don't think so. They just haven't gotten – I don't think they have gotten enough consistent quarterback play. When you look at who's going to be the starter, he hasn't really named a starter. They said Harrison Bailey will play definitively. I think I heard him or saw where he said that earlier in the week. But, you know, when you look at that, they've had four different quarterbacks attempt to pass. I think three of the four have thrown interceptions because Stroud threw an interception on his only pass of the season. But it's time for them. And what's interesting with Tennessee is when you think about what was coming into the season, all the talk about their offensive line, they actually only have one offensive lineman, Trey Smith, right now, who has a above a 70 grade. I think he's at 74.6 or something like that overall. So the true freshmen that they played a lot last year haven't really developed like they thought they would. And then now you're going against the Florida passing game, you know, where, hey, you got to keep the ball from them. If your running game doesn't do much of anything or you don't get consistent play from the quarterback, you're going to be hard to keep the ball away from Florida's passing game, which Florida, I put this earlier on Twitter today, but it's such – when you think about them in Alabama, it's those are the two offenses in the SEC and really a lot in the nation this year outside of maybe Ole Miss in the SEC. But Florida does it way differently than Alabama. Alabama, the top three receivers in there that have been targeted have over almost 80% of the production, whereas the top three targeted receivers for Florida have less than half, like 48%, a little less than half the production. Florida has 11 players with at least double-digit targets, 11 players with at least 100 yards receiving, and 10 different receivers who have a touchdown catch. So the ball is just being spread around. And when you do that offensively, it makes you that much more difficult to stop, and I don't think Tennessee's going to be able to stop them.
Plus the facts they got Pitts back now, I think that just elevates everybody because, you know, everybody's going to be looking at where he is, where he lines up in the formation, and Mullins does a good job of attacking where you try – if you try to double him, and even – if you do, he knows how to run some pivot routes and do some things to take away those reads. So, you know, Tennessee, going into the year, I thought Tennessee would have a good shot against Florida up there. But, I mean, they've only beaten them one time, like in the last 10 or 12 years. So, it's a situation where Florida's got their number. A lot of unrest up there at Tennessee among the Vol fans. You know, getting ready to be 0-9 against Tennessee, against Georgia, Florida, and Alabama after 3 years under Jeremy Pruitt, which those are games you got to win. You got to win at least one, but you got to win at least a quarter of a game. You know, they did that against Georgia for a little bit, but they've been beat by double digits by all these teams. So I don't feel like it's a real good shot unless Florida – we've been talking about it all year. Florida needs to get some tip passes, get some penalties. Somebody's got to get some help against Florida, and I just don't think Tennessee's going to get much of that.
This is probably an off-season conversation, but I'm just surprised with what Tennessee has done this year based on where I thought the program was headed to with some of the things they had done at the end of last year and into the offseason. I know the winning streak they had coming off of 2019, it wasn't against a great schedule. I think we all know that. But it just seemed like there was momentum building in Knoxville, and that just – it was really ground to a halt early in 2020. A team that I think still has some momentum.
Dane, I saw an interesting stat this week that Derek Mason, and, you know, you hate for anybody to get fired, but, you know, after seven straight years of losing record, you got to change something. But the only team he has a winning record against in the East is the one in his own state, the Vols. So he's got a winning record against Butch Jones, 3-2. He's 1-1 against Pruitt. So he can go down as one of the few Vandy coaches to have a winning record against the Vols, that's for sure.
And I think that's also why Butch Jones is an analyst right now and not a head coach.
He's cashing a few checks over there, and he gets more screen time than anybody but Saban. I think he knows he's right there all the time. So I guess he's trying to put his mug out there so somebody will hire him. And, you know, we'll see what happens with some of these non-Power 5 jobs. He might get one this year. You never know.
My brother-in-law is an Alabama fan, and he calls Butch Jones the intern. So
the intern.
Do with that joke. Just the intern. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's move on to Arkansas and Missouri. A bit of, Barry Odom knows this roster at Missouri almost better than anyone in the SEC other than current Missouri, as he was there for the last couple of years. Arkansas coming off really a quirky loss, I'd say, where I thought the better team ended up losing in their previous game with LSU. So Coach Barry Odom, I know, has had a great year for Arkansas as the DC. Can he get the win over his former team?
Well, it'll be an emotional time for him going back to Faurot Field and, being on the other sideline after being the coach for a long time for the Mizzou Tigers. I know when I went back to Faurot Field with the Oklahoma Sooners first time after I'd been coaching at Missouri, I wasn't a head coach. But, a lot of those kids and, their families, and more than likely, they'll be all around him during warmups and everything. But, he has done a good job with the talent he has. I mean, they're a workmanlike defense that overachieves. And it just looks to me like Missouri's got more talent at this point. He inherited a better roster from Odom than Coach Pittman inherited from Chad Morris. So they seem to have found a quarterback. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Nobody would have thought that he would win this many games. And I really think they're playing for Coach of the Year right here, although – we might talk about, Lane Kiffin in the mix too, but whoever wins this game got a really good shot of winning 5 on the year. So that's pretty impressive.
Brent?
Yeah, I think Coach hit the nail on the head. This is a who's the coach of the year in the conference type game, because both programs obviously struggled mightily a year ago. Arkansas really struggled a year ago. And now you have a chance for each of them. Well, Arkansas really doesn't have a chance to be 500 now, but this is kind of that coach of the year type game. But when you think about Missouri, when you talk about the quarterback position, they feel like they have a quarterback. He's in all of his starts, he's completed at least 64% of his passes, Connor Bazelak, in all of his starts. But the interesting thing is he actually only has 5 touchdown passes, and 4 of those were against LSU. So in all the other games, he only has 1. So, they need to get some touchdowns and explosive plays in the passing game, explosive touchdown type plays in the passing game. And with the way Arkansas plays defense, it might not necessarily be the case. So just have to be efficient, a lot of long drives, things like that. But, when you think about Arkansas, I think they've lost, and just they're always just 1 or 2 short in terms of depth and talent. And I think what Coach said at the beginning is true, is that as good of a job as Arkansas has done, and Sam Pittman and their staff have done this year, they're just that 1 or 2 guys short. Now Rakeem Boyd's opted out. He's definitely not going to be there. So I just think Missouri probably has 1 or 2 more playmakers. Nick Bolton's starting to play really, really well again on the defensive side. and they get the victory because, but it is very much a toss up type game as a whole. And I think the closest spread of the week as well.
Jason Hester on the YouTube chat says that, well, he's asking a question. He says, would Barry Odom be a better choice? I'm assuming he's talking about for Vanderbilt here to potentially be their head coach. I think Barry Odom is going to get head coaching looks for sure based off the job that he's done at Arkansas. Yeah, but I can tell you this, I think Sam Pittman wants to keep him as well. So, yes.
I mean, I think it's just a case of, Vanderbilt more than likely is going to go with an offensive guy, though. I mean, they went 7 years with Derek Mason, who had that kind of background, or a defensive coach going to bring in some offensive weaponry with his staff. But just like Kirby said on the SEC hotline that whatever they call it, the number one thing you got to get is players. They're just devoid of talent right now. I mean, they don't have enough players to, compete on the level you got to compete. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Ole Miss was left some good players. Mississippi State was left some good players. All these teams, and these teams just got after Vanderbilt pretty good, you know. So we'll have to see who's going to be in on that job. I understand that Clark Lee, who's from a Vanderbilt grad,
right,
Notre Dame guy, he's a defensive coach. Will Healy, Charlotte head coach, we'll just have to see, but
we'll probably be able to have like a whole show talking about who's going to be coaching replacements in the SEC.
Yeah, that'd be good.
There's an off season show for us, which after next week we'll determine our regular cadence for this show.
Hot seat.
Yeah, we can do
very much so.
You're talking about Vandy, so let's stick with that. Coach, you and I talked a lot about Vandy in Georgia. We know it's a mismatch in terms of players on the field. Vandy, at this stage that we're recording Thursday afternoon, game still on, but until they get to Athens and they're around the stadium, I'm going to need to see it to believe it just based on how many players it seems like they have on their team. So, Brent, I want to give you a chance just to discuss what you think you're potentially going to see with Georgia and Vandy, because I don't know, unless it was Alabama and Vandy, if you could find a bigger mismatch in the conference.
No, I agree. And the question for me is, with this game, is how does Georgia want to win this game? Do they want to win this game like they're the varsity playing the ninth grade and, we're just going to kind of hand the ball to all our stable backs and run this? Or do we want to win this game really using and expanding and just practicing, in a way, the passing game? When you look at Georgia this year with a lead, they have, in essence, shut it down from a throwing the ball standpoint. They're two-thirds run, one-third pass on the season when they have a lead in any game. So, I think this is the perfect opportunity in my mind. And I sort of put a little rant on Twitter the other day about it, but this game this week is the perfect opportunity to go spread the ball around and really get a lot of guys who haven't been a lot in the passing game, Darnell Washington, Arian Smith, these guys, get them the ball, get them and just find ways to get them targets and get them involved. So I hope to see that in this game as much as anything, but in terms of the overall game, it's, whatever Georgia wants to win by, they're going to win by, I think, in this game.
Yeah, the one thing that always bothered me as a coach, and I think you make some really good points, but I get started thinking about who we're going to get the ball to and how we're going to do things different and all. And, all of a sudden you get an interception or something, or you get a game like 2016 where Vanderbilt just inexplicably won the game, although they were a lot more talented then, had some NFL players, and they made the stop on fourth down. But you got to keep expanding your package. That's for sure, Brent. I mean, for us to be what we need to be in 2021, we've got to continue to have the firepower offensively where we can get the points to keep up with these offensive teams. But, last week, I mean, Kirby's going against his roommate, college, it's hard to run it up on them, and you feel for the other team. I know I've always felt like the other team has something to do with the score too. They're supposed to stop you, but you'd like to see some of those other guys get in and show what they can do. But right now, I just hope we can play the game like Dane said. As of Thursday afternoon we're playing, so let's see what happens.
You mentioned Mike Bobo, coach. He takes the South Carolina Gamecocks. Oh, Brent, you have another.
I'll say one more thing about this game. When you think about this you know, don't forget the college football playoff rankings just came out. Georgia's eighth. You know, that's not like the out of the realm of possibilities that crazy can happen. And when, you know, hey, Auburn beats A&M down, you know, Florida's, you know, maybe, you know, they still got, they got Tennessee. Obviously, we think they're going there, but they got LSU supposed to at least as well. Possibly Bama. You know, maybe they get beat again. Now they got two, three losses. Who knows? And you go and you absolutely just destroy Vanderbilt and do that same thing to Missouri, or to Missouri next week, with especially with the passing game, especially if you do it and JT Daniels has, you know, 300 plus yards, multiple touchdowns, things like that. Now, all of a sudden, someone on the national level, who knows, but someone on the national level might say, hey, let's look at Georgia again. You know, and they now have their quarterback, that conversation, because obviously all of the stuff on TV, at least, is conversation as much as anything. But you never know, at least in this year, above all else in 2020, that's still not out of the realm of possibilities. More than likely, yes, but I would almost play these games, these last two games, as if, hey, I can say when I'm done in 2 weeks that we just averaged over 40 points a game with our new quarterback in the last four games. Nobody wants to play us, you know, so put us in, kind of thing.
I like it. I mean, I think that makes some decent points.
Did you ever hear that song? Do you believe in magic?
You never know in 2020, Coach.
Hey, let's get that magic going. I said that's my singing for today.
But I see your case.
Most of the national people, though, can't believe Georgia's eighth. But, you know, they don't understand what the SEC is all about. I really don't think that when you can win six or seven games in the SEC against conference competition, you're doing something. And that's not being a homer. That's just the reality of it.
Well, and you know, Alabama and Florida are quality teams. So it'd be quality losses if you're going that route with a bunch of good wins as well. South Carolina goes to Kentucky. Mike Bobo trying to find a way to build a little confidence with the offense. I didn't see as much of that against Georgia, Brent, but, you know, still some talented players on that team and something to try to build for next year, even amid transition.
Which quarterback plays better? I mean, it's really that, because both teams are going to want to run the football. Both teams are going to want to try to be physical defensively. I think Kentucky has a little bit more physicality than – though I need to stop using that word. I saw somebody on the vent the other day. They were, hey, physicality, you know, they don't like that word. I need to stop using that one. But, you know, I think Kentucky is just deeper in this game, more talent, and will make a play or two more in the passing game and take care of South Carolina here.
Coach?
Got to be careful about Kentucky. I mean, they're more of a what-if type team. You know, they're at the point of, look, we should be better than we are, and they don't really – they can't believe what's happened to them. And I can understand, because they really did lose a couple games they could have won very easily. And then they got pummeled by Alabama. But it's just a team that really underachieved any way you look at it.
Very much so.
And so now are they if all of a sudden South Carolina comes in there and puts a stinger on them, are they going to fight back? Or is it worth it to them? You know, so I think – psychology, wow, this game is a big deal right here. South Carolina, you know, playing for his coach, Mike Bobo, stood up for him. It probably helps them being on the road where not as much scrutiny as they are at home. And Doty really shows you he's got some skill level there to move around in a pocket. And I look for him to give him a good – you know, if you just base it on talent, Kentucky's going to win. But you got to be ready to maybe not get their best shot and South Carolina go in there and steal one.
One thing I think that we need to consider for these games that are at Missouri or at Kentucky, we're in December, boys. So that cold weather's really coming up on people, and these teams aren't used to playing this deep into the season. So I don't especially know if you're going to –
That's South Carolina games at night, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So
I'll tell you one thing, we got to politic like crazy between now and tomorrow and not make sure that Missouri game, if we play next week, 12 o'clock, baby, not 7:30 out there. Wow.
You might get some snow at that rate. If you don't, it's going to be bone crushing either way. Final game of the week is the primetime game on CBS. It is Alabama and LSU. I really don't know what to say about this other than it seems like anyone can throw touchdowns on LSU, and Alabama throws a lot of touchdowns. So, uh-oh, Coach.
Yeah, this looks like a complete mismatch right here. You know, Alabama's got that vengeance about getting beat last year. They couldn't stop LSU. It was embarrassing. A couple of times in the first half, they, and Brent can remember, they didn't even have anybody covering those guys from LSU, and it was just a total wipeout. But their defense seems to be a little bit more sound this year. They've really gotten good senior leadership, and they're not making near as many mistakes. But they really haven't gone against the red badge of courage either as far as offensive teams. But I think LSU has a better chance. Finley plays a lot better at home than he has on the road. And, you know, they're going to take some shots, but losing that receiver, man, that's a big opt-out for him, you know, because he's a big part of their offense. And Alabama, you know, you always say Tiger Woods doesn't shoot a 69 every week, but I guarantee you Alabama's been clicking on all cylinders about as good as any offensive team I've ever seen in this league this year, even when Tua was there. I mean, they don't have any ups and downs. I mean, they're just go back and forth, run, pass, do whatever it needs to be. So I think old Nick's going to put the hammer down Saturday night.
Brent, I love what you put on Twitter about Alabama's percentage to pass and how it stays consistent regardless of what the score is.
No matter the score, no matter the time, it slightly ticks down a little bit. They run their offense consistently. And by the way, it's been that way the past 3 years, really ever since with Lane, and then also now with Sark taking over as offensive coordinator. He has it. They're a machine right now. They're an absolute machine in terms of both a running and throwing game, truly complementary football with both of those. And when you think about it, they've only been held under 40 once, and that was Missouri in the opening game. And it was 38 that Missouri gave up to them in the opening game. The biggest difference with Alabama right now that puts them on another level, I think, than any team in the country, is their ability to cover. Right now they have, because of the emergence of Malachi Moore, the true freshman, they have three of the four highest graded coverage players in the SEC. So that's Surtain, Malachi Moore, and then Job, the other corner. So, you know, when you can cover with the quality and at the rate that they are covering, it allows them to do some things, work some games up front, and their defense has just gotten better and better and better, really starting with the second half against Georgia. And like Coach said, they are absolutely firing on all cylinders. It's going to be interesting to see who plays quarterback for LSU this week, because Orgeron said earlier in the week, I think that both will play. Depends on, you know, I think Finley is going to get the start, but Finley has obviously turned the ball over more than Max Johnson in the time that they've gotten. And can they at least hold on for a little bit, maybe? Because LSU's like, hey, this is our one game. Let's get up for this one game. I don't think so. But Alabama's going to be interesting, because until they play Florida, or, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they play Florida as much as anything.
Well, stop skipping ahead. We're in this week in the moment.
Yes.
Now, I understand what you're saying. Is that on paper, it looks like Alabama's looking forward to what's to come because of what LSU is. Let's make some picks, guys, because we do have to wrap up the show. So we've got three games. I think we would all pick Florida over Tennessee. I think we'd all pick Georgia over Vandy. I think we'd all pick Alabama over LSU. So that leaves the other three games to pick. And we'll start with Texas A&M and Auburn. If I had to pick a marquee game of the week, that's the one I would have selected. So, Brent, I'll start with you.
Man. This is interesting because, like I said, you know, Gus always has the one game. But I just think Auburn is kind of limping into things a little too much. Texas A&M kind of sees the light at the end of the tunnel that, hey, we do take care of our business and we put ourselves in the perfect position. I think this game is very close, but I think Texas A&M barely gets the victory on the road.
Coach?
Yeah, I'm going with Texas A&M. I just have a hard time seeing Auburn develop a good enough offense that they get some turnovers. They got a shot, but I'm going to go with A&M.
Shout out to Mitchell Fletcher in the chat, who tells us great show and thanks for doing this every week. Thanks for watching. It really makes us pleased to do it for you. I'm picking Auburn, and I really don't have a reason other than Auburn does some weird stuff at the end of seasons. On paper, I think A&M's got the better roster. I think they got the more momentum, but I really wasn't impressed with what A&M did the last time we saw them. It wasn't Auburn either, so yeah, that's not really a great reason. But I'm going to say Auburn, and Brent, I like your theory as good as any, is that Gus Malzahn's got to keep getting those checks. So however that happens. Arkansas, Missouri, I'll lead us off there. I'm going with – it's a tough game for me, man.
He's flipping the coin in his head.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go with Missouri just because home team. Although the quarterback play, I actually think Felipe Franks is probably a little bit better in my eyes, but – seeing Arkansas limp against LSU just didn't give me confidence. So I'll go Missouri, Coach.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Missouri. I just feel like, to me, even though Arkansas has had a chance to rest up some here at the end of the year, I mean, they've just been beat up all year, you know, playing on emotions, and they're going to try to win this one for Odom and all that. I think they're going to step on their foot a little bit here. And, you know, Missouri's really kind of in la-la land. I mean, they think they're a lot better than they are, and nobody's going to tell them any different. They're playing great. I mean, I'm picking the Tigers.
Brent?
I agree. I think Missouri at home, I think they're just rolling. They're playing well, and the confidence factor. And I think Coach spoke to this more in for the next game we'll pick with Kentucky, where their confidence is in sort of the tank. I think Missouri's confidence and the want to and the drive and the sort of keep wanting to get out on the field and keep getting better and better is there to the point where they keep getting those victories.
Coach, I'll go right back to you for South Carolina, Kentucky.
You know, I want South Carolina to win, but I got to make some hay on these things here. I know both of you guys are going to pick Kentucky, so I'm going to go with Kentucky.
I'm going to actually – God, this is so stupid when I have a lead. I'm going to zig. I'm going to go South Carolina. I really don't know why, again, other than the fact that I thought Mike Bobo caught a really good game against Georgia and found some opportunities that the roster actually did not present itself with the mismatch. I'm going to say Coach Bobo finds a way to win a game. Kentucky's offense, not that explosive, so this could be one of those possession games which plays towards South Carolina. I'm not worried about Kentucky getting some massive lead. I'm going to go with the Gamecocks. And again, I don't have a great reason, and that's not good sports talk, but there you go. Brent?
I'm going to go with Kentucky, and I think it's mainly just at some point they there's a rallying of, hey, let's do something good, and they need some good, and I think this is the day to at least, you know, get a little bit of momentum and feel a little bit better about their season, because like Coach said, they have truly been a disappointment. I mean, they had Florida, they were playing Florida quite well, and then they gave a punt return for a touchdown right before the half, you know, and so it was, you know, it's just their season from a bad luck standpoint almost as anything, but I think they do get the victory against South Carolina.
We wrap with our bold predictions. We do it every week and tend to be a little too bold this season, if we're honest. I don't think we have a great rate.
What happened
on
the ones over Thanksgiving that we didn't carry over? What was my bold prediction the week before?
Let me go back and
find one and two.
You're going to make me flip back on some sheets of paper here.
Okay. Actually, I can't remember mine, to be honest.
Gosh, I need to be more organized on this. All right, I'm going to search for it, but while I do, Brent, give me yours for this week.
I think Kirby Smart listens to the show. I think you heard me talking about the realm of possibilities of 2020, and he's going to chuck it and continue to chuck it, and they're going to chuck it all day long, and JT Daniels is going to have at least four touchdown passes to at least three different receivers.
Three different receivers for touchdown passes.
Who are those receivers? He has six thus far to five different guys. So, you know, I'm keeping with that rate. Four TDs at least for Daniels this week.
Okay.
I can believe a lot of things you're saying, but I don't think Kirby listens to this show. Maybe.
He wants to hear your opinion, Coach.
I can see Bennett coming in and throwing a couple there, you know, if they put him in against this Vandy defense. I'm just going to say that you're just going to see Alabama put it together at LSU like nobody's ever put it together before, and it's going to be bad beatdown. I hope not for LSU's sake, because they, you know, got a lot of pride. But boy, you know, if you go before the season, you tell me LSU is going to have a worse record than Arkansas and Ole Miss in their division. I mean, I just don't believe anybody. I mean, I guarantee you, I would have thought you're crazy, but that's what it looks like right now.
I'm going to say that Tennessee covers against Florida. Doesn't win, but I think Tennessee keeps it a little closer. Florida may have their head in the clouds a little bit.
17.
Yes.
That's the last I saw. I don't think it's going to be within a possession or anything, but I'm just going to say Tennessee covers. That's probably going to be wrong too. And I did find them. I said Kentucky would hold Bama under 35.
First half.
Yeah. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate that for remembering that part. Coach, you said that Tennessee would scare Auburn, but it'd be a close game.
I scare them in the warm-up bit.
And Brent, you said the Kyle Trask four touchdown streak would end
against Vandy. That's right. I do remember that now.
Yeah.
And it did. He got three, and then they pulled him.
So Brent's the smartest of all of us. Fine. I'll take that. All right. We've got a wrap here. This weekend, we will have a post-game show on this YouTube channel for Georgia and Vanderbilt in lieu of our watch-along parties. So we will update you with that. Check UGASports.com, the dog event, for the latest there. For head coach Jim Donnan and Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus, I'm Dane Young. Thank you for listening to Around the League.